This is Drew Mackey, and you're listening to Singing Mountain. I'm back again. It was not just a one-off return. This is the second in what I'm calling Singing Mountain 2.0. Today, we are driving into the city, so to speak. You might be driving into a city right now, and if that's the case, I say have a nice drive. I myself continue to not really drive anywhere, and I'm still on the same tank of gas that I bought back in April. That is just how life in Los Angeles has been. This episode is a metaphorical drive for me, even if it's a literal one for you. But either way, we're doing it with the magic of VGM. This is actually the fourth in a series of drive music episodes I've posted on Singing Mountain. First, there was Moonlight Drive, and then I did Afternoon Drive, and then most recently, I did Sunset Drive. I kinda ran out of times of the day I could pick music for, so this one is a little bit different. This one starts far from the big city, but as you drive along, those giant towering skyscrapers start to creep up over the horizon as you head into the big city. The music is going to start out at a decent clip, but also be pretty light and cheerful, sort of like the Afternoon Drive episode. But as we get closer to the city, it's going to get a little more intense and a little less cheerful. It's a whole little journey we're going to be taking. Or I'm going to be taking through music, and you may be actually in a car. So why does the music pick up that way? Is the city dangerous? Is traffic just picking up? I wonder about that actually, because I haven't quite figured it out. But the neat thing about these VGM abstractions is that you get to write a little story in your head as we go along. All of those previous Drive music episodes are going to be linked in the show notes in case you haven't heard them or haven't heard them in a while. I think they're actually pretty decent. Like I said, we're going to be starting out with music that's pretty laid back, and what could be more laid back than a fishing game? The opening track comes specifically from Super Black Bass 3, a Super Famicom fishing simulation game that seemed very American but was only ever released in Japan. The soundtrack was composed by Tsukushi Sasaki and Michiya Hirasawa. Coming up next, you're going to hear the title theme to Cosmic Fantasy 2, a 1991 dungeon crawler RPG developed by Nippon Telenet in 1991 for the PC Engine, and which Working Designs brought over to the TurboGrafx-16 in 1992. Despite being an RPG, this title track sounds like music you would hear in a driving montage in a 70s movie. It's very happy, very afternoon drive, and if only I had known about this track back then, I probably would have put it in that episode. And then after that, you're going to hear the track Flight of the Birds from Last Bible 3, composed by Hiroyuki Yanada. The Last Bible games are actually spin-offs of the Megami Tensei series, from which the Persona games are also spin-offs. And while Persona skewed modern and urban and dark, the Last Bible games seem to have skewed more towards Dragon Quest or Final Fantasy in tone and setting, so a little bit more family-friendly. But don't get me wrong, there are still demons aplenty in these games. I'm pretty sure this track is the flying theme for this game, but as is often the case, flying in an airship in an RPG often makes a pretty good match for a leisurely drive. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
That track, finishing up now, is actually a selection from a game I played last episode, Dino Brothers 2, a strategy game featuring dinosaurs that seems very cutesy, but I can't get over how much I like the soundtrack. The soundtrack is by Masami Yatsutse. The track is titled Far, Far Away, Take Me, which could mean a whole lot of things depending on your frame of mind. Before that, you actually heard a track from a McDonald's-branded game, believe it or not, specifically McDonald's Treasure Land Adventure, released for the Sega Genesis in 1993 and published by Sega but developed by Treasure, which is responsible for Gunstar Heroes, Dynamite Heady, Silhouette Mirage, and Mischief Makers. All excellent, excellent games. And I think this game is also allegedly pretty darn good, despite the fact that it is a McDonald's game. It's not even the only McDonald's-branded game that doesn't suck, surprisingly. The excellent soundtrack to this Ronald McDonald starring game was composed by Katsuhiko Suzuki and Aki Hata, and the track is actually called Alien Ship, which is surprising to me because it seems much more chipper and upbeat than you'd expect from being on a UFO. I don't know how UFOs sound, never having been on one, but I know how they're portrayed as sounding, and they're usually not so cheerful. You may have noticed that the majority of tracks in this episode, and indeed all of my driving music episodes, come from video games that aren't really ones that are driving-centric. That is intentional. That is interesting to me because I like taking tracks out of their original context and reimagining what they could be beyond just what the composer intended. Which is very egocentric of me, I realize, but I take it as a personal creative challenge to see if I can successfully reinterpret something. I don't mean to say that the composer made a mistake in making something that sounds like something other than what they were shooting for. Instead, I kind of just like to look up the structure of the compositions themselves and see what jumps to mind. And maybe that gets me to better understand what kind of compositions tend to evoke what feelings, if that makes sense. The vibe gets a little more intense in the next block of songs, which kicks off from a track from a series of puzzle games that are celebrated for their eclectic soundtrack that doesn't usually sound like puzzle game music. The game is Columns 3 for the Sega Genesis, composed by Morihiko Akiyama, and the track is titled Industrial District, so it's maybe a cheat that it's making me think of more urban landscapes. Then, perhaps for very similar reasons, the track after that is Seaside Front from Aero Blasters, a TurboGrafx-16 port of a side-scrolling arcade shooter called Air Buster. So, Aero Blasters, but Air Buster. I'm not sure who made that change, but someone probably thought it was more marketable. The soundtrack for this port is credited to, I think, Tetsuya Watanabe and Tsutomu Ookuma. Some searching online did not tell me for sure if these were the proper composer IDs, but do tell me if I'm wrong. Otherwise, enjoy what sounds to me like that part in a drive where you're not even aware that you're by the ocean and all of a sudden you make a turn and suddenly you can see the ocean and it's always a nice surprise. That's what this track makes me think of. Thank you. listening to Kakumen Boss No Theme from the Sega Genesis title Valis 3, composed by Jun Hasabe. Valis, of course, being one of my favorite games in the long-legged girl wields a sword genre. And I'm shocked that this is actually boss music because, though it certainly has a good tempo, it sounds more like race music than it does like fight music, but maybe that's just me. I did an entire episode of Singing Mountain way back in the day devoted to specifically the Valis 3 soundtrack for the Genesis. No one listened to it. I assume people just didn't care as much as I did, but I swear the entire game soundtrack is great. I'll put that in the show notes as well. And then before that, it's actually the Pirate Man theme from Rockman and Forte, the Super Famicom game that we eventually got in the US as Mega Man and Bass. Didn't say Bass that time, Bass. His name is Bass, like the music thing, not the fish thing. Really hard for me to remember that. Of all the tracks in this episode, this is probably one that's going to be a lot harder to dissever your associations from it, because I feel like a lot of people know Mega Man and probably played this game and might have recognized right off the bat that it was Pirate Man's theme, and Pirate Man is not a driving associated robot master. But if you can put your Mega Man associations to the side for a second and just concentrate on how it sounds like a pleasant Oceanside Drive, I think it actually works. It is a beautiful track. I'm seeing that the composer for Pirate Man's theme is Akari Keita. So why are we driving into the city in this little hypothetical exercise anyway? I am so glad you asked, because in addition to being the fourth in my driving music series, this is also the first in what is for sure a two-part series and might actually end up being a three-part series depending on whether I can make it work and how long my attention span can last. The next episode of Singing Mountain is going to be all gritty city music. That is, I suppose, representative of what you would get when you finally arrive at this imaginary city on the horizon. So stay tuned for that, and maybe those, depending on what I'm feeling as we get into October. Yes, I'm going to insist on being weird and fanciful with my interpretation of all the episode themes. That's just what I do. The third and last block of music in this episode has five tracks, beginning with Twin V to the Rescue from Poppin' Twin V: Rainbow Bell Adventures, a very cheerful sounding game that came out in Japan and Europe, but not North America. It was a side-scrolling action spinoff to Konami's Twin V series, which is usually a side-scrolling shooting game featuring robots and set in like a very colorful cartoon universe to differentiate it from like Gradius, for example. The soundtrack is by Kenichi Matsubara, Yukie Morimoto, and Saiko Miki, which is S-A-I-K-O and not P-S-Y-C-H-O, just in case you're wondering. This track seemed like the perfect transition between the happier music in the first half of the episode and the increasingly urgent stuff you're going to hear in the rest of the episode. Following that, you're going to hear a track titled Sky Sphere from Newtopia, a very Legend of Zelda-ish game released by Hudsonsoft for the TurboGrafx-16. Without knowing what a Sky Sphere possibly is, I say this one sounds like a race on a stretch of road that has a giant, perhaps evil, city looming over it. Decide for yourself if I'm correct. Third is the track Grassland from the Sega Genesis title Burning Force. It is a shooter, and you might have seen it before. It is a shooter that has a young, sexy lady riding a hoverbike on the cover art. And even though I don't really think you see this so much in the game, the cover art displays a lot of butt. It's a very butt-centric view on our hoverbike riding heroine, but that's just what they did in cover art back then. And yeah, even though hoverbike riding seems very driving music friendly, the fact that this one is titled Grassland but still sounds very future urban makes it, I think, a very good fit for this episode. Fourth is another track from Super Star Soldier, not Super Star Soldier, a TurboGrafx-16 game I played in the previous episode. This episode, I'm giving you the track Crystal Road, which feels very, very much a close relation to the Burning Force track that precedes it. Enjoy. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
That's it. You arrived in the city with that fifth track, BGM 5, from the Namco shooter Barunba, which I know fairly little about, but the composers I'm seeing as being responsible for this one are Makiko Itao and Hiroshi Nishikawa. This one had some oomph to it, so I'm supposing that actually getting to the city was harder than we expected, but you're here, and again, find out what is waiting for you in the city when I give you the next episode, which is Gritty City Sounds. Probably not going to call it that, probably going to call it something cooler, so title's subject to change, but you get the idea. Thank you for listening to this, the second edition of Singing Mountain 2.0. Out a little later than I was wanting, but that's just how it's going to be with me juggling a lot of other podcast projects. I'm not posting a Patreon version of this episode because I'm actually going to combine it with the sequel episode that's coming out next. So you're going to get a bigger Patreon episode that's representative of both installments together. If you do want to subscribe on Patreon, go to patreon.com/singingmountain and you'll get access to all the bonus content that I'm going to be putting out parallel to what's on the main feed. If you have any questions, comments, or criticisms about Singing Mountain, the easiest way to reach me is on Twitter, either at Drew G. Mackey, M-A-C-K-I-E, or at SingmoPod, S-I-N-G-M-O-P-O-D. You can also follow Singing Mountain on Facebook. Just search for Singing Mountain and click on the one that is not a bakery. And if you like pixel art, on Instagram as well. Please subscribe. And if you like the show, give me a rate and review because those are helpful for every reason you've heard on every podcast ever. I have one final track for you. And I picked this one because it sounds like driving music, but also it wouldn't be at all out of place in the next episode. Composed by Kajima Shidamachi, it's titled Underground Traps, and it comes from the Super Famicom game Go Go Ackman, which I know is an adaptation of Akira Toriyama manga, and that's about it, aside from the fact that the third installment of the series features a boss who is both an angel police officer and a hilarious gay stereotype. And I might try to find a way to work him into this week's cover art if I can figure out a way to do it. This is one of the things that's been nice about doing deep dives into all the games that I know nothing about, is that it's given me the slightest peek into a whole series of games in the 16-bit era that I just never played. And they look really cool. I mean, like, look up Go Go Ackman. It looks like an Akira Toriyama adaptation. The art in that 16-bit era looks amazing, and had I had the chance to play this when I was a teenager, I would have loved it. It looks exactly like the kind of game I would have enjoyed. Just didn't, because I lived in America and we never got it. I can now, and I think this whole little experiment's going to result in me playing a lot of Japan-only 16-bit games just to increase the breadth of my 16-bit experience. Anyway, I don't know why there are traps underground, but that's the name of this track. If you can tell me more about Go Go Ackman, please do. I'm all ears. Other than that, see ya. Thank you.
a Table Cakes production.